Welcome, Colin. It's great to see you here. I've known Colin for quite a long time, but I had the privilege of travelling with him a couple of times last year. Then you get to know somebody a lot better then, and I think I have no... but I won't tell you all his... but this is a man who really loves Jesus. I have no higher recommendation than that. This is a man who loves Jesus. So I just pray for him this morning. Father God, just bring fresh words, Lord Jesus. Just bring something new to what you put in Colin. And I pray you'll just open his mouth, and in doing that, you'll open our hearts and our minds and our eyes to what you want to say to us today. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Good morning, River Church Marlow. I'm getting closer to you, so I like to better spit on the front row. Sorry. It's good to be with you guys. You know, you really are my family. You know that, don't you? You know that. I love coming here because I spent 12 fantastic years as part of this congregation, and it's good to be back. Who wouldn't love Jesus? Who wouldn't? What's there not to love? He's the most amazing man. Incredible man. Incredible God. God who is love. Well, we had the celebrated love yesterday, Valentine's Day, and we had the pleasure of having company of Paul and Sarah. So it's very special to celebrate love with you guys. So it's good to be with you. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. God is good, you know. He is good. God is so good. And we were singing that song, and that always makes me laugh, you know, earlier this morning, that Blessed Be Your Name. I love that song. It's a fantastic song. And then we get to those lines at the end, you know, he gives and takes away. And it always makes me laugh. It would make me cry if I didn't laugh. Because you know it's not true, don't you? You do know it's not true. Yeah? Because it's quoting. It's quoting from Job. That's what Job said. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. And it's not true. Takes away sickness. Yeah, you can sing that. Because, you know, it was Satan who took away. And I gave a talk in Maidenhead about 6 weeks ago. I was going to talk on the call of Abraham and man chosen by God. And God hijacked the talk, and I never got to talk on it. I got talked on completely one minor point, which God exploded into the whole message. But afterwards, I got so much positive feedback. I felt like it was an important message for us to hear at this time. And I feel like I should deliver the same message this morning. But I had the prayer meeting again this morning. And at that time, God hijacked my talk in the prayer meeting before the service. And today, God has kind of hijacked it again. And I had a message this morning saying that I was to be honey. Honey. And that's a fantastic picture. Honey. Who wants honey this morning? Because that's the message I've got this morning. God has honey for us this morning. God has honey. Honey. God has honey. And it puts me in mind of that story when Saul was driving away some army, maybe the Philistines, I can't remember who it was now, but he was routing them in battle. God had given them a great victory. And they were working hard. And they got tired. And Saul made this religious declaration that no one should eat before the end of the day. But Jonathan found some honey and he ate it. And all the other soldiers wouldn't dare eat it. The thing is, if they'd had the honey, they would have had a much greater victory. They'd have had the energy to continue for the fight. And this is a season that we know we're in a fight, don't we, this season? Yeah? Who knows we're in a fight this season? We're in a fight. We need honey. We need honey. And God has honey for us this morning. I really believe that. For everybody who wants it, God says, come. There is honey. There is energy for the fight this morning. All we've got to do is take it out. So we'll start with those verses from Genesis chapter 12. But we'll talk about honey. Genesis chapter 12, the call of Abraham. Now the Lord said to Abraham, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. And I will make you a great nation. And I will bless you. and make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you. And the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. That's an amazing calling, isn't it? Just to put it into context, you know, this is where history begins, really. This is where history starts, as far as the Bible is concerned. The first 11 chapters are pre-history. You already know that, don't you? So I'm telling you already what you already know, but I'll tell you anyway. It's pre-history. It's the backdrop. From it, we learn lots of great stuff. God created the world from nothing. Man was made in the image of God. We were meant to be like God, to reflect his glory on the earth. We were given the earth to rule over. What a fabulous privilege that and honor that was. God gave us the whole world to do with as we liked. And yet we know the sad story that we chose not to trust God. We chose actually to believe he was holding out on us, that there was something better. And we listened to another voice. And it's a sad story. We went and disobeyed and we joined the rebellion that was already going on in heaven, one led by a being called Satan. Adam and Eve fell from their precious place. And we've fallen with them. This world now groans, the Bible tells us. Groans. Waiting for the sons of God to be revealed. It's waiting for us, guys. The world is groaning. It's not so obvious today when we look around that the world is groaning. It's looking for something. It doesn't know what it's looking for, but actually it's waiting for the sons of God, waiting for you and me to be revealed as the sons of God. And so sin spread to all men, the Bible tells us. Now that is not a genetic sin passed down from one gene to the next. No. We're not born sinful. The Bible doesn't tell us we're born sinful. It tells us those who choose to sin become sinful and dirty. We all choose to join in that rebellion. If we're honest, we admit it. We've all rebelled at some point. And we have the flood and we have the nations. The nations get formed in those first few chapters. So the whole of this first 11 chapters is just painting the backdrop. It's not the detail in it. It's just painting the backdrop so we can start putting the characters in. It's like the background stage. So to give the play some context. That's why it really frustrates me when Christians get all het up over the details in chapters 1 to 11. And we argue that creationism should be taught in schools and things like that. That's nonsense. The Bible's not a science textbook. We don't have to teach creationism. It's not important. If God took 6 months or 6 years or 6,000 million trillion years to create the earth, really, that doesn't make any difference to us. The fact that he created it is a big deal. The fact that it would never have come about if he didn't speak is a big deal. But scientists can never disprove that. So let's forget about those kind of details. This is all backdrop to give us some kind of understanding for where we're going in this great story of things. So, and as a result, we get the main problems is that the world's now broken. We just sang about sitting at the foot of the cross where God promises to mend a broken world, to mend our broken lives. The world was broken. Sin covered the whole place. The whole place was dirty. We're all born into a dirty environment. You know, imagine a baby born into a rubbish tip. That's like us, born into the world. We're born into a dirty place. We quickly become grubby and dirty ourselves. Death rules. Or ruled. Hallelujah. And men became separated from God. It's interesting, you know, when we look at that kind of separation, I note that God never commanded it. God never wanted it. Yes, that God did separate them from the tree of life in the Garden of Eden, but never from his presence. In the next chapter, you get Cain and Abel chatting to God. But men choose to wander off and do our own thing. But so it became a big problem in these early chapters. And then we start with the call of Abraham. God starts his rescue mission, begins with that backdrop, why the world's in such a mess. We get to the call of Abraham. Which is fantastic news. Who wants to hear good news this morning? There's a couple of you out there that want to hear good news. That's very sad. Who wants to hear good news this morning? Oh, there's two or three now. There's a few more. Who wants to hear good news this morning? And there was much rejoicing. I want to hear good news. There's enough bad news going around, isn't there? Yeah? It hangs over this country. In fact, it hangs over the whole world. It hangs over us like a wet blanket. It hangs over us like the dark clouds that we get that cover our skies most days in winter. Doesn't it? We listen to the radio. We listen to the telly. We read the papers. We are under a dark cloud. Aren't we? There's too much bad news. And we can choose to live under that if we want to. Or we can choose to live over it. I've had enough of bad news. I want some good news. I want to tune out some of that bad news. The trouble is, if I just focus on it, if I just listen to it day in, day out, I get depressed. It robs me of my hope. But the good news is, I have fantastic news for you this morning. Really wonderful news. Do you believe? I don't think you're hungry enough. Are you hungry? The fantastic news is that God wants to bless each and every one of us this morning. That is the truth. God wants to bless you. God wants to bless you. That is the truth. You may not feel like it. Your circumstances may not show it. But that is the truth. God wants to bless you. Maybe there's some doubting people out there saying, no, he's preaching that namby-pamby, wishy-washy, love, blessing gospel again. You know, why don't we have some judgment and some hellfire stuff? Because when I read the Bible, I don't see it. I see a God that wants to bless. I know that God wants to bless us. I just know it. Absolutely. Whoever you are, whatever you're doing, whatever your circumstances, that is God's heart for you this morning. How do I know that? Well, you read it almost every page. The first thing that God did to men when he made them was what? He blessed them. Genesis 1 verse 26. He blessed them. The first time he met us, so to speak, having made us, he blessed us. That was God's heart. Fill the earth. Rule over it. It's all yours, guys. We've done nothing to deserve it. Nothing not to deserve it. But that didn't matter to God. He said, God, be blessed. No, he didn't send Jesus into the world to condemn the world, did he? Why did Jesus come? Huh? To bring freedom. He came to save us. Yeah, to rescue us. He saw we were in trouble and he's moved by compassion. God came down not to tell us, slap us about and say, sort your life out, go on. He came down to bless us, to save us, to rescue us, to deliver us. When we couldn't do it ourselves, we were trapped, we were helpless, we were lost, we were hopeless, we were blind. He came down. He loves us. You know, it put me in mind of a time when God says to his people, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Who knows those verses? I guarantee you that every one of you has probably had that verse given to you at one point or other, yeah? Yeah? We love to give that verse to each other, don't we? I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you. It's a great verse. Do you know the context? See, you've got to know the context, otherwise you end up singing stuff which isn't true. Always know the context. The context is the Jews were in a terrible place. They've been taken in captivity to Babylon. They were miserable. They were weeping. They were mourning. They'd lost loved ones. They'd lost their livelihoods. They'd lost everything. In a strange land where people talk a strange tongue. Nobody's in a foreign place. All the promises that they had, all the hopes that they'd had in their kingdom, in God, their king, doing something special amongst them, gone. Jeremiah writes them a letter. Settle down, guys. Build houses. Oh, you've got nothing. Build houses. Plant vineyards. Whatever you can do there, do it. Give your sons and daughters in marriage. Give your sons and daughters in marriage. Oh, hallelujah. I just feel, as we say that, Keith, I feel that the Spirit said to me, you will give a daughter away in marriage. I want to prophesy that over you. You will give a daughter away in marriage in the name of Jesus. You're going to give a daughter away. He didn't tell me. He just said, you're going to give a daughter away in marriage. So I believe it's your own. Oh, Lord Jesus. Give your daughters away. Give your sons away. Enjoy life. Because I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you. To give you hope in the future. You see, some of us look at our circumstances and we think, I don't want to be here. This is a terrible place to be. And at the moment, a lot of us can say that. People have lost their jobs. People are wondering if they're going to pay the mortgage. People who have got jobs are wondering if they're taking pay cuts, are wondering if their jobs are secure. Business is difficult. Everything's difficult. And God says, I know the plans I have for you. I know the plans I have for you. Enjoy what you can. Enjoy what you can. I know you're not in the place you want to be, but enjoy what you can. Don't keep thinking about what you've lost. Don't keep thinking about where you're not. That will rob you of your joy. Get over those things. There's some good things in this place, if you want to look. There are some good things. May not be ideal, but there's some good things. We can enjoy life together. I have plans for you. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Hang on to that. Trust me. And there's good stuff here. It's not all doom and gloom. Listen to me. Enjoy your life. And the Spirit is saying to people, even as we sit here this morning, the people are saying, you're hanging on to stuff you should not be hanging on to. Let it go. Let it go. It's only bringing you pain, and you're choosing to carry it. Let it go. Don't focus on the things you do not have. Don't focus on those things that you wish were different. Because when you do, every time you do that, your energy levels get drained. Now, I love evangelism because it's all about good news. We're the people of good news. I love being able to tell people good news. I don't understand why everybody's not raving evangelists. Is anybody here not a raving evangelist, by the way? I need to pray for you now. Oh, Lord Jesus. You think I'm joking? Oh, Father.
Father, so much that they cannot contain it. Give them so much, Lord God, that it cannot be contained. It has to be given away. So much. What's there not to love about evangelism? Loving people. That's what it is. We should change the term, you know. Loving people. Ah, oh, fantastic. But where are we choosing to dwell? You get some evangelists that choose to dwell on the negative. The fruit's not very good. But if you're talking positive, if you talk about the God who loves, if you talk against religion, just as Jesus did, and focus on the real deal, the relationship with the Father, people start to listen. It's true. So the question is, where are we going to live? Where are we going to live? Because Jesus does not promise us it will always be easy when he says, I have plans to prosper you, not to harm you. You might be in Babylon. You might be in a place a million miles away from where you want to be. You might be having to bear real pain. And I know that. There are really good friends of mine in this room who bear real pain. Some for a long time, some for a short time. This isn't a trite thing I'm saying. I understand the pain. God understands the pain. But if we allow it to, the pain will eat us away. We have to focus on something else. You have to lift your eyes up. We have to lift our eyes and focus on Jesus. Fix our eyes on the God who suffered for us and overcame by laying down his life. You see, God promised Abraham he was going to bless him. Who wants that? Who wants Abraham's promise? Yeah? There's one person's got it. Two people have got it. Three people. Who wants it? Yeah, well, there's a few more now. Now I'm giving it away. What do you think I'm doing? Just toying with you? I said, who wants it? Because it's available. But before you rush to put your hands up, I ought to tell you. What's the next thing that God does with Abraham? Do you know? Huh? He makes him move, yeah. Yeah, get up, go somewhere else. Place I'm going to show you. I won't tell you where it is yet. I don't want you to be too comfortable, Abraham. Abraham, what's the next thing that happens to him? He looks after his sheep and stuff like that. He goes into this promised land and God speaks to him again. So I'm going to give you your descendants. I'm going to give your descendants this land. And Abraham says, wow, yeah, I like that. I like that one, Lord. This is blessing after blessing. Fantastic. What's the next thing? There's a famine. Thanks a bunch. My sheep are dying. I thought you were going to bless me. I thought you were going to look after me. I thought this was going to be good. Now I can hardly feed my family. I don't really know what's going to happen in the next few months. Are we all going to die of starvation in this land? So he legs it to Egypt. He runs away. It wasn't necessarily a bad thing. God didn't tell him to go to Egypt. He just decided to go because he thought it was the best place to go with some food. No, God doesn't promise us an easy life. He does promise us to be with us through the difficulties. The question is, where are we choosing to live? Are we dwelling on the bad or on the good? In these times, as I said to you earlier, it's easy to fear if we listen to what the world says. We find it creeping on us. I defy anybody in this room to constantly be watching telly, watching the news, reading the papers, listening to the radio, and not be depressed. I defy you. Because you're human. You're impacted by what you hear. We all are. You cannot filter it all out. So you've got to make some adjustments. You've got to start listening to a different channel. Yeah, we do. We don't have to live under those grey clouds because we know the truth. Yeah? The sun is shining where we are, isn't it? Who's sunbathing this morning? I'm serious. Are you sunbathing? S-O-N. Yeah, sunbathing. Oh, come on. Can you just take a moment, guys, and feel the warmth of God's love? Thank you, Jesus. drive those clouds away. God says you're precious to him. He looks at you and his heart is melted. You cannot look into those eyes and not have tears well up. If you don't have tears well up, you're not looking into the eyes. When you feel that much love, something happens in your heart. Feel the love of God this morning. It's shining out constantly. And we are the people that are called to live on the beach. Whatever the weather, whatever our circumstances, whatever is going on in the world, we know the truth. It's not hopeless, because I know the plans I have for you. I love you. We're going to rescue the world. We're going to mend this broken world together. That's amazing. That is incredible. We have the Spirit of God living in us. That's phenomenal. We're to walk about in a different climate, reflecting the glory that we're bathing in. You see, if you're not bathing it, you can't reflect it. But if you choose to, you can bathe in the warmth of God's love whenever you like. I mean, people do these soaking sessions and things. I love soaking sessions. I think they're fantastic. Some people get a bit twitchy about it and think, oh, no, they're the kind of super spiritual, kind of freaky people that were at carpet time. But all they're doing is sunbathing. It's good to do. You know, when you sunbathe, the warmth goes right through you, doesn't it? Do you feel it? You lie in that sunshine and everything feels, you feel your whole body going, don't you? It should be like that for us. But in a spiritual way. The sun is shining for us. Things are good. Even through the pain, we can sing, blessed be your name. Not because he gives and takes away, because he's working everything. And he's promised that love will win in the end of the day. We know that truth. We live in the goodness of that. That in the end, no matter what the devil does, no matter what we do to one another, no matter what bad choices we make, love will win. Oh, hallelujah. Is anyone excited by that apart from me? Love will win! We have good news. And there's a real depression hanging over this place. If we let it, we will be impacted by it. We will live under it. But the truth is that God wants to bless us. You know, when you wander around, you can see it on people's faces, can't you? Two of my neighbours, young men, have had health problems through stress in the last few months. It's work-related. One of their companies has been put into administration, doesn't know whether he's going to have a job. Another one's really working hard, but, you know, it's difficult. Under so much stress, they're getting heart problems, they're getting really, really difficult health problems. Somehow I have to be warmth and sunshine to them. Because, guys, we have a rock to stand on. When the storms of life come, the only difference between us and them, because we look the same. Most of the time. Our houses and their houses look pretty much the similar thing, don't they? If we're honest. I have some lovely non-Christian friends. The only difference, when the storms come, our houses still stand. Because we're not relying on the sand to keep us up. We built our homes on a rock. Not the only difference. Exaggerate for effect. But you know what I mean. We've built our house on a rock. We should be secure. We are secure in the love of God. No matter what the enemy might do. We can be like Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. Okay, throw me into that furnace if you want to, Nebuchadnezzar. You've got me here now. But I know the Lord's plans are to prosper me and not to harm me. To give me hope in the future. And even if he doesn't save me now, I'm not going to do what you want. I'm not going to become miserable and like everybody else and downcast and just go wandering around moaning. I'm actually going to choose to be different. Because we can trust God like they could in a hopeless situation. Because God comes through in hopeless situations. The Bible's full of it. In fact, the more hopeless, often the more God loves to come in and do something special. Because he gets more glory, you know, and people take more notice. And you get this picture. I had this picture for someone, you know. There's a raging storm going on around us at the moment. raging storm. But we can be little islands of peace in this storm. Our homes should be little islands of peace in this storm. Because we're not trusting in the same things as other people are trusting in. We're not trusting in great careers, in great bank balances, in great mortgages, in great homes. We're not trusting in those things, are we? No one's saying amen to that. I'm not saying amen to that, Colin. Because a little bit of me is trusting in those things. Probably a little bit of me too, if I'm honest. But that's not where our real trust is. We can be an island of peace because we're living in a different place. We're living on the beach. We're living in the sunshine. Hey, I don't know what the weather's like where you are, but for me, the sun is shining. It feels good. By faith, it feels good. Because I know my God is faithful. And the truth is that God wants to bless us. Look, turn to Psalm 37. Verse 18 and 19. The Lord knows the days of the blameless, the upright, and their inheritance will be forever. They will not be ashamed in the time of evil, and in the days of famine, they will have abundance. That's a fantastic verse to hang on to, isn't it? In this time. In the days of famine, they shall have abundance. Plenty. That's God's heart. That is God's heart. Hey, someone's got that out quick. I'm impressed. I never warned you. That is a fantastic thing to grab hold of in this time. And to know. God is your shepherd. You shall not be in want. I can think of no better shepherd. There's no one else I want to be shepherding me in this time. There's a Psalm 20 says, some trust in chariots, some in horses. Some trust in their strength. But that won't get you the victory. We trust in the name of our Lord. Because our Lord has promised us that in times of famine, we will have plenty. Hang on to that. Embrace that promise. Believe it. Prophesy it. Speak it over yourself. Speak it over other people. Let your home, your heart, starts with your heart. Let your heart be an island of peace. Let it spread to your body and to your brain. And to your home, and to your family, and to your friends, and your neighbours. And in this time, we can be tremendous witness to the love of God. We can invite people to the beach for a barbie. Come where I live. This is good. Feel the love. Put your trust in the love of God, not in the other things. The other things are unimportant. Yes, there will be pain. Yes, there will be hardship. I'm not denying that. But actually, through it all, we can still live in the sunshine. If we choose. Because God has promised us abundant life. We are blameless in Christ. It tells us that. The Bible tells us we are blameless in Christ. And Jesus said he'd come that we might have life in all its abundance. That's the promise of God for us this morning. So we're called to a different place. To live in a place where we can be a blessing, like Abraham. God said, I'm going to bless you. And through you, I'm going to bless every family on the earth. And God says to you this morning, I'm going to bless you. I've got honey for you this morning. And not just enough for you either. It's enough for your street. It's enough for your town. It's enough for your nation. If we're willing, it's enough for the world. I've got a never-ending supply. Honey. I want to bless you today. I want to bless you so that you can be a blessing. That is the truth. It's fantastic. We've got to act like kings and queens. Because that is what we are. We've been given the earth to rule over. Okay, we lost it for a while, but in Christ, we have it back. Yeah? You get that, don't you? You know that. I don't have to teach that, do I? No? Please say if you agree with me. You know, we've been given the world. In Christ, we are seated in Christ in heavenly places, far above all rule, authority, power, and dominion. I think that just about covers everything, yeah? Including depression, including redundancy, including everything. We are, including sickness, including everything. We are in heavenly places in Christ, which we're to reign from. We're to walk around as wealthy people. You get some people, you think they're really poor. You think they're really, they've got nothing. God wants us to live like wealthy men and women, to throw open our doors, to be hospitable. We're sons of the King. We're representing the King of the universe. We're his ambassadors. He doesn't want his ambassadors to be acting like they're poverty-stricken, they've got nothing. Oh, please have mercy on me. Give me something. No, like Paul was to say, though as poor, I make many rich. We are to do the same. Let's be wealthy. I'm a wealthy man in Christ. Say it to yourself. Don't say I'm a wealthy man. Say I'm a wealthy woman. I'm a wealthy man in Christ. I'm a son of the King. Even the women can say that. Feel it. That's your position. That's our position. Tell your neighbor, you're a wealthy man. Well, you know, or a wealthy woman. Hallelujah. Amen. You're a man of influence. You're the head, not the tail. That's the promise of Christ. You know, I'm talking about, I had the pleasure of your company last night, and you are a wealthy lady. You are. And you are being an island of peace in this storm, Sarah. You know, the stories you told me last night about reaching out to some of those neighbors, you know, you are an island of peace to people in this time. Paul, you're an island of peace from the business world. You are islands of peace. And God wants to give you bigger influence to spread that peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end, it says in Isaiah. God wants you to be peacemakers. You are peacemakers. You're doing it. Thank you so much for what you do. It's a privilege to know you. Thank you, Jesus. So where are we choosing to live this morning? Are we choosing to live in the bleak harshness of the economic climate or in the sunshine of God's love? That's the question. The truth is that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Go to that well-worn passage in Romans chapter 8. It's in times like this it takes on fresh significance. What should we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? God is for you. That's fantastic news. You can say that to anybody, by the way. God is for you. As Bruce Forsyth say, you're his favourite. Yeah, he's especially fond of you. You can say that to anybody. Yeah? We get too hell away there, or they might be in sin. Rubbish! God is especially fond of every man, woman, and child on the face of the planet. Yes, some of them he gets very frustrated with. Some of us, he gets very frustrated with at times. But actually, he's especially fond of us. He who did not spare his own son, he demonstrated how fond of us he was, delivered him for us all. How will he not also, with him, freely give us all things? And is there anything he's left out? Anybody think, but he hasn't given me that, I need this bit. Huh? No. All things. Freely. Without cost. This is fantastic news. I'm getting really excited now. Unless it's some charlatan speaking, in which case he's just lying to me. But this is God speaking. Either we believe it or we don't. Oh, hallelujah. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or recession or hardship or redundancy or nakedness or peril or sword? Will any of these things separate us from the love of Christ? Huh? Thank you. There's a couple of people that are determined not to be separated. Nothing can separate us. Nothing can. It doesn't say nothing will. It's a bit sad, isn't it? If nothing can, how come some things will? Thank you. We let them. We let them. Because it says, in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. Overwhelming, not just scrape a victory after quite a lot of tussle and, you know, lost a couple of legs and, you know, black eye, but I just about made it. No! Overwhelmingly conquer in Christ, through Christ. That's God's heart for us. This is fantastic news. Let's not let these things get on top of us, guys. Let's tune in to a different channel. Let's choose to live in a different place to everybody else. And people will say we're being mad, we're not taking things seriously. Yeah, but we are. We've got eyes to see, but we're just choosing to have faith and to have hope because we're trusting the person who has promised us that he has plans to prosper us and not to harm us, the guy who has promised us that in the times of famine we will have plenty. You know, I'll tell you a little bit of a personal story. I just finished with this. And you know, please don't get me... I don't know whether to share it or not now. In Maidenhead, it was easy to share it because it wasn't reality. Because at that time, it didn't come through. But we came back from Nepal, and we had a little bit of money, and I didn't know what to do. I felt like I didn't want to go back into full-time IT work. But that was a cost for us as a family. And we started to pay for me to have time just to serve the church. And that was really tough. And though we felt peace about it, at the same time, I was watching my bank balance go head the wrong way. And you know, it started to get to the point where I was thinking, this can't go on too much longer. What do we do? And you know, we had a few fractious moments in our home towards Christmas. It was getting to the point where it was becoming a burden. And you know, I have all these things going on inside of me about being the provider for my family. What am I asking my kids to suffer because of my dreams, because of what I think that God is saying to me, I'm a madman. My parents were speaking to me. And I had to tell them, you know, I feel this is what God has asked me to do. And you see the look in their eyes thinking, cuckoo. My mum says to me, well, Colin, you've always been sensible. And you can see she wants to say, be sensible again now. You can see it. And then I have to look into Sadie's father's eyes. Lovely guy. I love him a lot. He doesn't know Jesus. Oh, Father, reveal your love to him. He's a great guy. He hardly says a word to me about anything apart from golf and cars. And, you know, he's lovely, but, you know, he doesn't talk about stuff. I mean, you know what I mean by stuff. I grew up in a family that never talked about stuff. Screwed me up. Talk about stuff, by the way, mums and dads. Talk about stuff with your kids. Where was I? Yeah. And he comes up to me and says, Colin, do you know what you're doing? Do you know what you're doing? I have to look into his eyes. Now, I had his grandchildren, three grandchildren now, his daughter. I said, no, I don't know what I'm doing. That is the honest truth. It could go wrong, what we're doing now. I don't know. It was a very difficult conversation. I had it a couple of times with him. Because he wanted just to show his concern somehow. But, you know, God is amazing for us. God has provided for us in the new year. You know, he come through with some money from a completely unexpected source for us. Which means in the short term, we don't have to worry about the fact that I'm not earning enough to pay the bills. That is amazing. That's fantastic. It makes sense of why we had the peace about doing what we did. But at the time, it was really difficult. Really difficult. No way through. You know, I'm a walker, and sometimes you look ahead and you think, there's no way through. You can't get there. You might as well turn around and go home. But if you keep going, sometimes you get to that impossible cliff face, you get to the foot of it, and you look up and think, oh, well, actually, there's a little cleft there. I can scramble up that. And you get up these impossible places. That's why I'm a bit excited about this building thing that's going on that we're looking at. We don't have a hope in what's names of getting a good facility, a conference facility big enough to house everybody and to meet and to really be a blessing. But we're going to walk up to that cliff just to see if there's a little crevice. And for us, God has come through like that. That is fantastic. But the thing is, that is God's heart for every one of us. And I want us to prophesy over one another now. Because there's honey. There is honey. These, I said to you, didn't I? God has got honey for you. God has got honey for you. There is plans to prosper you and not to harm you. There's plans to give you hope and a future. It's not over. There's honey. There is honey. Prophesy that over you in the name of Jesus. There is honey. There are so many people. I could spend easily an hour prophesying over different people here, but actually, I really feel that God wants us to prophesy over one another, to release good things into one another's lives, to prophesy the sunshine into people's lives, into each other's hearts. You know, words we use are powerful, you know that, don't you? Yeah? You do know that, because one of the things we can learn from Genesis 1 to 11 is that words are powerful. When God speaks, things happen. And we're his children. And when we speak, things happen. It's true. That's why we have to be careful we don't use our tongues to curse things. It's so easy to curse and to bring down and to pick holes in things. It's so much harder to draw out the gold and to build up and to strengthen. But this morning now, I want you to use your tongues to do that for one another. To prophesy, just as Ezekiel did to the dry bones. I'm not saying the dry bones, but I want you to prophesy in that manner. Not by looking at with your eyes and seeing what you can see, but by looking at the sunshine of God's love, by knowing the faithfulness of God over that person and prophesying over them. Impossible things. I want you to be men of faith this morning. Will you do that for each other? I don't want you just to pray just little tiny, oh, God bless you prayers. I want you to really release blessing over one another. Yeah? Prophesy good things over one another. Because that's God's heart. God wants to bless every single person here. Release as much blessing as you can in your prayers, knowing that the whole of heaven is working to back up what you asked for. And if you want something to work around Psalm 20. Just a couple of verses from there. And then we'll finish. We can pray for one another. Oops. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. That's a great prayer, isn't it? May the Lord answer you. May the name of the God of Jacob set you securely on high. May you be set on this rock, secure above all the storms that are raging around us. May he send you help from the sanctuary and support you from Zion. May he remember all your sacrifices, all your offerings. May he grant you your heart's desire. That's a great thing to pray over people. And you know what? May he fulfill all of your purposes, all of your plans. That's a great thing to pray over people as well. We will sing for joy over your victory. Yeah, we want to do that over one another's lives, don't we? When I see you living victorious, I want to jump up and down. I want to shout for joy when you're victorious. We need some victories in this time for people. Tell the person where you need a victory. Get them to prophesy of you. Get them to rejoice over you at the prospect of that victory. May the Lord... Well, that's actually... It says, in the name of our God, we will set up banners. Do that over one another. In the name of Jesus, set up a banner over one another today. In the name of Jesus. Not in our own strength. We're not trusting in chariots or horsemen again. Verse 7 says, some boast in chariots, some in horses. We're not boasting in the things of the world. We will boast in the name of the Lord our God. And in the name of our God, we will set up banners. And the Lord will fulfill all your requests.